Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
I want to go to Psalms 119 this morning. We're starting a new series, and this is kind of backtracking a little bit, but it's a good reminder. Verse 105, and then we'll pray. Because we're going to start stepping into some things that I believe the Lord, that's really going to help your life, okay? Don't forget about your Bible reading either this week. We're starting in Hebrews 6 and then we're going to Hebrews 10. But the new series is called Harden Not Your Heart, and it's Understanding Faith. And faith is a subject that is much misunderstood, okay? Because there's been a lot of... Brother Hagin used to say this to us. There's been a lot of people that have been religiously brainwashed instead of New Testament taught. Okay? So, essentially, the thought is, and this is something that we just went over with the Path of Light, the series that we just did, is that men, when they don't understand things, develop new doctrines. There's a statement that's made that I actually read. It's in a theology book that I read, but the statement was this, is that the degree of success attained in the Word of God by any generation doesn't determine whether the Word of God is true or not. So in other words, I'll put it to you like this. There was a point in our religious history, as far as America, as far as Christianity is concerned, as far as other nations where Christianity was strong, where we had what we call the Reformers. They figured out that being born again was by grace through faith. You know, we know that today, but there was a whole era of years and years and years where whole sections of Christianity didn't even know that. Did that mean that being saved by grace through faith ended because they didn't know it? Or did that change the Word of God in any way? No, it didn't. It didn't change it at all. It's just that we live in a dark world where the enemy is constantly trying to blind those that are here. So when you look through the Word of God and you see a scripture that is something that you're not experiencing in your life, it's not time to say God doesn't do that anymore. It's time to say, God, reveal to me why I'm not experiencing that in my life. Okay? And so the answer, and I'll put it to you like this, the linchpin, how many know on the back of a, like my truck has a trailer hitch, and I can slide that hitch in there. There's a big pin that goes in one side to hold the hitch in, and then there's another pin that slides down on the side so that that big pin can't come out. That linchpin can't come out. Faith is a linchpin to so much that we believe as Christians. In fact, you're not even in Christianity unless you got in by faith. And there is so much misunderstanding about faith, and Jesus declares and the epistles declare some phenomenal things about faith that are much misunderstood, and a lot of times will make the most quote-unquote religious people furiously mad. You know, Jesus, the people that loved Jesus and his ministry and he walked on the earth were not the religious people. They were the people that had no religion. You know what I mean? Or were way outside of the religious hierarchy. Jesus really, you know, I mean, I'm not saying he didn't have problems with those that were not living for God, per se, during that time. But they really loved him. And the things that he taught were contrary to what the religious leaders were teaching of that day. To the point that, and we looked at it last week, and you say you're reviewing this. Yeah, I really need to, because the enemy is so good at confusing people. Don't underestimate his ability to confuse you. Because it's pretty amazing what he's got this world in. You know, you realize this, and Mike mentioned it during the exhortation / offering time. Which is good. That's what we want. Amen. You get wound up. You get wound up. What are you going to do? You know? But anyway, that God is not the God of this world. Now, I can give you New Testament scripture to prove that to you. The scripture says that Satan is the god of this world. You know, people will make this statement, God is in control. And then people will say, in control of what? And they say, everything. Really? God's a part of Planned Parenthood? Yeah, I just shattered your doctrine. Is God killing babies in heaven? It doesn't make sense, does it? So God's in control of everything. Yeah, it's all planned by God. No, it's not. So you're saying God had Adam and Eve sin. If God, let me ask you this. If God had Adam and Eve sin, then why does he judge them as guilty for their sin? Think about it. How can God hold us accountable if it isn't our choice? If we couldn't help ourselves, then you can't be accounted as guilty. You can't have sin. How can you have sin if there's no free will? If God's in control of everything. I mean, the doctrine doesn't even make sense if you really look at it and start studying it. But you understand what I'm saying. People come up with things that they've been taught. They probably heard it from a pulpit, and they probably heard it from somebody that was really sincere about what they were teaching. But listen, they were sincerely wrong. Right? That's why here at the church, it's not just what you hear the minister say. You better find it in the Word. It better fall into those guidelines for scriptural interpretation that we gave you last week. It better rest inside the boundaries of the Word of God and find its place either in two or three places. Not only just in context of what's being said, but in context of the whole Bible. Do you know everything in the Bible is a statement, is truly stated, but not everything in the Bible is a statement of truth? There are lies recorded in the Bible. They're recorded correctly, but that's not God saying, this is what I want you to do. You see what I'm saying? It's a correct record of history, but not everything in there is God, thus saith the Lord to you. Okay? So we need to understand these things, because what happens is the enemy and where we live, we are so acclimated to darkness, guys, we don't even realize it. We don't even realize it. We don't even understand it. People wake up and they feel down for no reason. They don't understand why, but they're just kind of used to feeling that way, so they just go with it. Do you think there's any depression in heaven? How many riots are happening on the streets of heaven? How many accidents are happening in heaven tonight or today? Robberies? People speeding. There's police. There's the gold streets. There's drag racers. There go the drag racers again. We got to... Blacks and whites fighting because they hate each other. Any? No, that's all here. But we need to learn and acclimate ourselves to this light so that not only are we a witness wherever we go, but God can manifest Himself through us. Now, let me say this, because this came up during the worship time, and I got to say it. People say, well, I've made my life such a mess. Yeah, but you don't understand how good of a cleaner God is. Okay? So, and everybody's done things that they wish they shouldn't or wouldn't have, and that they shouldn't have, honestly. But God is saying, look, keep going after me, and we'll straighten it out. We'll just not make the decisions we made before. You know what the definition of insanity is, right? Doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. So we need to find a new way. And it's God's way. And Psalms 119:105, it declares it right here. It says, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. And I know we've looked at this, but we'll just read them again. It won't hurt us. Psalms 119:130 says, the entrance of your words gives light. It gives understanding to the simple. And the simple are everybody. That's not God. Now, there are people that think they're God. Okay? But they're not. And that's the simple. There are people that think they're smart, but how many of you know that if there's a competition between, as far as knowledge and understanding goes, between a human who's, we'll just say, an Albert Einstein versus God, who's winning? God, every time. It's not even a challenge for God. You realize the most genius people on the earth, the people that we think like the Stephen Hawkings and these guys that are supposedly, you know, sit in these place of such high intelligence that man glorifies their quote-unquote mind. God looks at them and just goes, they have the understanding of a child. He is, nobody will stand before God and go, yeah, I'm going to argue with God because he did this. No. It's just foolishness. Nobody will. First of all, you won't even stand. People have such pride, but they don't even realize the moment they see God, boom, they're going to hit their knees. It's not like some, people have this idea like Christianity is like Neverland and Peter Pan and, you know? No. God is real. The scripture says he has hands and feet. He has arms. He has a throne that he sits on. The scripture says that he rides the clouds. You think you're cool on your motorcycle. He rides clouds. People have this idea, we're going to get to heaven and strum harps on clouds. Are you crazy? God is productive. There is streets and houses and systems. It is much like this world, only take all the sin out. And we're not just headed for heaven like, you know, people think heaven, we just have our natural thinking on it, but it's not. It's spiritual, real place. Just because it's unseen does not mean it does not have substance. It just means you can't see it. Well, how do you prove that? Well, do you see the wind? You can see the effects of it, but you can't see it. But wind is real. Jesus used that illustration with Nicodemus, you remember. It's the same principle. You're not just born again and going into this place where there's no fire and demons. You're going to an entire world where there are millions and millions of people. Probably your family members. I know I got family up there. And you realize this, that they are not getting further away from us. We are getting closer to them. The older you get, you're getting closer to them. This is why Christianity, one of the reasons why it's so important for people to get saved. Because you get to be together forever. Not like, you know, we were married for 60 years. Now, I don't know what marriage looks like in heaven or if it is. But nonetheless, you'll still be around that person forever. Forever. I'd encourage you, if you're thinking about some of these things or if you have fear in some of those areas concerning death or heaven or things like that, read testimonies about people that have gone to heaven and come back. Don't be afraid of death. Death is defeated. Death is a comma for the Christian, not a period. You're not headed to nothing. People think, well, I'm going to the dirt. No, your body is. You're going to heaven. You won't even care. Every testimony I've heard about people that have died and gone to heaven and come back were like, man, they were mad when they came back. You know? It's like one lady said she looked at her body and she's like, what is that? She wanted nothing to do with it. The angel that she was next to her actually rebuked her. Said, look, you need to speak good about it because it's what you have to be on earth for now. Which makes sense. So, we need to change the way we think. And part of changing the way we think in a huge portion of who we are as Christians is faith. And so, I'm going to start this series today. And I don't know how long it's going to go. I try and kind of get an idea. But this subject is so big that I don't want to move on to the next subject until we get a real hold on this one. So the Lord had me go through four different subjects when we first started. Knowing your Father, knowing who you are in relationship to with your Father, how to worship your Father, and then knowing who your enemy is. And all those messages are available online on the website. If you want to listen to them, download them. They're all free. So if you need to go back and listen to them, go back and listen to them. And then recently we just finished up The Path of Light, but understanding that everything we believe should be formed out of this book. Okay? Now, you realize that to most people, even though many people respond to it, Christianity is could be considered insane to those that are not spiritually minded. Now, you're telling me you believe in someone that you don't see. That's essentially, that is faith. Yes, I do. Well, how do you know? I know by faith. Yeah, but where's faith? Well, it's not in my head, I'll tell you that. It's in my heart. Now, everybody in here knows that, okay? Faith is of the heart. It's not, you believe with your what? Heart. You don't believe with your head. Faith is not a feeling. You know, you people get in the worship service and they feel God moving and they think, man, this is, I feel God. That has nothing to do with faith. That's just feeling. We are going to unravel people's ideas about faith. Well, I don't feel God when I'm at work. That's the perfect opportunity to be in faith. When you see it and feel it, you're no longer in faith. You're now in seeing and feeling. Faith comes before seeing and feeling. And you're going to see this principle over and over. And when you look at it in the Scripture and the Holy Spirit opens your eyes as we go, you're going to go, oh, I knew that. I've done that. The thing that we want to get into is to where we are consistently operating in faith every day. See, now like Mike, when Mike was rejoicing up here, what you don't know is I know what he went through in the last 2 weeks. And if you went through what he went through, you may not be rejoicing if you didn't have the faith that he has. Why declare a victory when so many things have gone wrong? It's the perfect time to be in faith. Now, this subject, the devil hates. Because the Scripture says in 1 John 5 that this is the victory that overcomes the whole world. Let's go look at it. 1 John 5. Now, I'm just kind of flying by the seat of my pants here. I haven't got to my notes yet. Because and we're almost there. I'm getting you with me. You say, I don't understand when you say that stuff. Well, just trust me. I know I can't explain it to you, but when you have a gift to minister to people, you know where they're at. You can feel where they're at, and you can sense whether they're in faith with you or not. And so the more I talk by the anointing and let the Holy Spirit flow through me, the more your hearts go, okay, yeah. Okay, have you noticed? You go from, yeah, we're sitting here to, oh, yep, I see a little bit more. I see a little bit more. So it's imperative that you remain in faith with me. Okay? So just believe with me. 1 John 5 verse 4 says this, for whatever is born of God overcomes the world. And this is what? The victory that has overcome the world, our faith. And actually one translation says your faith. The victory that overcomes the whole world is our faith. Now, I'm going to add this to that. The reason why it's your faith is because you've received His faith. Because how does faith come? By hearing. But what are you hearing? The Word of God. And actually, the translation there should be the Word of Christ. So you're hearing His words. What are in God's words? Or God. That's right. It is life. What are in God's words? What if you're reading someone's, like for instance, I don't know why they had us read this, but Edgar Allan Poe, The Raven. What are you reading? Edgar Allan Poe's demons. The Raven, Nevermore. Have you ever watched the video for some of that stuff? We had to in high school. Man, that guy was nuts. He was nuts. I mean, nuts. You know what I mean? He needed Jesus bad. He was crazy. And the world goes, oh, isn't this just wonderful? Actually, it's just a bunch of darkness. It's not wonderful at all. It's depressing. It's self-gratifying, self-glorifying, magnifying Satan. But what are in those words? Darkness. So in God's words are what? Light, life, but who? God. So what else is in God's word? Faith. Whose faith? His faith. So how can you not overcome with His faith being in you? You're going to see this, and you're going to realize it, and you're going to go, what have I been doing? And you will, like the scriptures in Proverbs, you will really watch what you say. Why? Because when you're declaring His words, you're declaring His ability. So when the enemy comes to you and you say, and he says to you, you've messed up your life so bad it can never be turned around. You say, all things are possible with God. And all things are possible with Him who believes. Well, yeah, but you can't do that. You just need to say, you're right, devil, I can't, but God can. And in from that place, now God goes, hey, look at this, guys. Look. And they'll lean over heaven, the gate, the banister, and look down and go, Heidi's declaring my word. Go to work, angels. And as long as you stay in His faith, it's moving. His power's moving. And then you will see His victory in your life. It's like this. We've gone over this with the leadership. There's a scripture that we've gone over talking about, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Okay? And we've looked at that because when you're in ministry and you're doing things, you lose a lot of your life. That's just the truth. If you really want to go far with God, you end up dying totally and allowing Him to live through you. You don't just decide your own schedule. Things come up, you have to do things. God taps you on the shoulder, says, I want you to go do this, I want you to go do that. And you think, but Lord, I already had this planned. And you have to set aside what you planned and do what God asked you to do. And the thing of it is that people think, well, then I'll lose my life. I won't be able to. That's exactly right. You won't be able to do what you want to do. But let me say this. Who gives you the reward when you don't do what you want to do? Parents think this. We think, well, we can't take that away from our children. So you think you can do better for your children than God. Oh, I know when I got that revelation, it was the same thing with me. Oh, okay. You know, you got like, okay, I'm going to repent over here, Lord. Just kneel. I cannot do better for my family than God can. Can you? So the best thing you can do for your kids is obey God. And love God more, listen to me carefully, than anyone else in your life. Your spouse, your kids, anybody, love God first. There's only one first place, right? Only one, and God has to have it. People and the enemy will come to you and go, yeah, and see, this is where doubt and fear comes in. Yeah, you do that, and you know this is going to happen, and this is going to happen. No, I'm going to trust God and be in faith, and God is going to minister life to my family. I've watched it happen over and over and over, and I quote that scripture a lot. When I have to go do something I don't feel like doing, so I'm operating in faith, not feeling at that time. I just go, Lord, you supply all my need according to your riches and glory. I'm doing your part, you do yours. And He does. Does that make sense? When we go after Him, when we serve Him, that's that place of faith where you're trusting Him. Now, it's easy to agree in here, okay? It's easy for me to say that in here. The fight, the test is not in here. It's out there. It's the moment you get in your car and you're driving down the road and you have a bill and you don't know how you're going to pay it. That's where the test comes. It's not in here. This is easy. It's out there. But you can do it because you have God in you. and you have His Word, and you have His ability, all you have to do is make the decision to agree with Him. And then, you know, cast the care of it over on the Lord. I'm not going to even think about how I'm going to pay for that. The Lord will take care of it. He will. Is God broke? He has got gold streets. If He really needs to get you some money, He can just pluck pavement. And people are like, I hope I get a gold bar in the mail. My point is that God understands your needs. So believe Him. Trust Him. Well, how do I do that? Declare His Word and rest in it. Yeah, but what if things go worse? The devil's just going to have that much of a worse testimony against him when God comes through. You'll have that much more of a victory. You'll have that much more of a victory. And it will be great. And you won't even remember the trial after the manifestation comes. You won't. You just be like, man, I bet you wish you wouldn't have done that, devil. Right? I'm telling you, Jesus wore out the devil until He left him for a season. Remember the temptation? Remember when Jesus was led into the wilderness by the Holy Spirit and the devil tempted Him? The Bible says that Satan got wore out and left Him for a season. You can wear the devil out if you operate in faith, in this victory. Okay? So first this morning, if you're writing this, I know some of you have been taking notes, but let's do this. What is faith? Okay? This is my first point this morning. What is faith? I know we've been talking about it, but I just want to give you a definition. Faith is, by the definition of the Greek word, a persuasion. It's a persuasion. Okay? Faith is a belief. Now, I've heard people teach that faith and belief are two different things. I disagree. They're the same. I just don't see it. People say, well, faith is a persuasion, but when you believe it, then you do it. It's the same thing. They're the same. They're the same word. In the Bible, they're the same word. So faith, if faith and belief were different, they would come different ways, but they're not. They both come by hearing and hearing the Word of God, okay? So faith and belief are the same thing. Faith is a persuasion. It's a belief. Faith is a firm persuasion. It is a conviction based on what you have heard. Faith is simply what you believe. Okay? I know that's real deep. And if you look up in Webster's dictionary, it's the same thing, okay? You don't have to. It's a persuasion. You're persuaded of something. This is what I believe. And believing something, usually, if you truly believe it, it guides the way you act. It is a garrison to your conduct. It keeps you in a specific place. Like, for instance, I worked with a guy, I don't anymore, but I worked with a guy who talked about how great he was and how much he could do. I mean, he talked incessantly about himself and how good he was. And yet he never performed it to the point that he got fired. So did he really believe what he was saying? Nope, it was just yak. It got to the point where I'd just shut him off the moment he'd start talking to me about what he was going to do. Why? No conviction. Really, what he should have said was, man, I am convicted about waking up late and not being responsible to show up on work at time. Man, I can do this. I will drink all night and then show up to work halfway still roasted. I have a conviction about this. I do this. Actions are... speak way louder than words sometimes. You know, and the truth of the matter is, that was his conviction. And then the person, when things went wrong, they requested that we didn't badmouth him around to other people, okay, in construction. And this was being told to me, and I said, we don't have to, he already has. I mean, we wouldn't anyway. You understand? I don't have to. Who you are is coming through you constantly. Right? I mean, that's just the truth. Whatever you are full of leaketh out of you. It is. So that's why we need to be full of God's word and full of faith. In fact, if you read through the book of Acts, you'll find the statement. He was a man full of faith and full of the Holy Spirit, which means what? He was full of the word of God and full of the Spirit of God. This is a whole lot easier than what people make it out to be. It takes a really good theologian and a whole lot of confusion to mess up this subject. And a whole lot of, well, I experienced this once. I've had people get fighting mad over with me, family members. Well, I know there's healing in the Bible, but so-and-so died of this or that. Nobody's denying that. But how does your experience change God? How? We got to keep this in mind. God is not the one who needs to change. We are. And when you get to that place in your heart where you're broken before Him, then you'll see manifestation of His nature like you never have before. And I just have it in my heart as we move forward with this series. It is vital that you hear it and practice it and hear it. Because we get so settled in our routine of life that we don't even realize that we're skipping over whole portions of the promises of God and not experiencing them. We just get used to, well, that's the way it is. Well, why is it that way? Why does it have to be that way? Well, it's always been like that. You remember I gave the illustration of the grandma or the great-grandma, the grandma and the daughter or the mom who every year during the holidays would cut the end of the roast off. Some of you are like, what story is that? I'll tell you. So every year this family gets together during the holiday season and they had a roast. And they would cut the end of the roast off and then put it in the oven to cook it. And one year, the daughter goes, why do we cut the end of the roast off? And she asks her mom. Her mom goes, I don't know, my mom always did it. So she looks at her mom, you know, great-grandma. Why do we cut that off? And great-grandma goes, well, I always did it, but... And then they got to the end of it and they say, well, why did we cut it off? Because great-great-grandma had a shorter pan. We do things because they were taught to us, and it could be by loving, well-meaning family members or parents, and it has nothing to do with God. Do you realize I'm not teaching rebellion? I'm teaching submission to God. I don't care if it's your grandpa and you love him with everything. If he looks at you and says, and comes against what the Bible says, I'm not saying you need to smack him with the Bible or anything, okay? You lovingly say, well, Grandpa, this is what the Bible says. And that's what I believe. And then if he gets strong with you about it, you just say, you know what, Grandpa? I guess we'll just agree to disagree. Agreeably. Why? Because let me help you. At the end of it all, you won't stand before Grandpa. See how far we've gotten away from Christianity? Just basic Christianity? People have this idea, well, I can't do that. Why? Well, because my pastor says, your pastor is not God. I am not God. His word is here. And it works for you just like it works for me. Amen? Now, I did not say I would not pray with you, I would not help you or teach you or any of the things that I'm called to do. I will do that. I will do it to the best of my ability by the grace of God for till the day I draw my last breath and leave. But you understand what I'm saying. What I'm saying is we got to keep God in His place, and then everything else will find its place under Him. Amen? And I know people take that doctrine and they go, well, I can just do whatever I want, and you know, God's my God, and I'm close to God out in nature, and you know, all that kind of stuff. And they refuse to be a part of what God clearly teaches as the church and the local body in His Word. Okay? You're always going to have that, but it doesn't change the validity. Just because they perverted part of it doesn't change the validity of what is true there. Okay? So, that being said, why, my next point, why is faith so important? And I just got a few things under this, and then we'll wrap it up. This is going to be a fun series. I mean, I've been reading some things about faith, and I'm going, woo! These guys, what they did by faith, I mean, march around walls that chariots could ride on top of, and they just crumble. Whoa! And then a prostitute who lives inside the wall that crumbled, her and her whole family lives because she was in faith. A prostitute. She's a hooker. Trying to get your attention. It's working. God loves faith, man. And people say, well, Abraham was the father of faith. Yeah. He lied that and told the king of Egypt or whatever that Sarah was his sister. It wasn't even his wife. And almost got that guy killed. Oh, great man of faith. We're going to find out that we're not much different than them. And if we'll just put our trust in the Lord will look over all the junk. And He'll go, yep, there's faith right there. And He'll just flow right in. It's worth it. It's exciting for me. I like faith because it works. I like things that work. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 6. Number 2 here is why is faith so important? And if you want to kind of, I did these kind of sub under this, so I put A under that and I put it is pleasing to God. Hebrews chapter 11 verse 6 says this, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. For he who comes to God must believe that He is and that He is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. I'm going to read it in the Passion Translation. It says this, this is Hebrews 11:6, but it says, and without faith living within us, it would be impossible to please God. For we come to God in faith, knowing that He is real and that He rewards the faith of those who truly seek Him. Notice that there's a reward to faith. There's a reward to faith. You know what the word reward means? Payback. If God paid you, would you know it? You think you'd know it if God paid you? Now listen, don't get people like, oh, it's impossible to please God without faith. Yeah, but remember whose faith you're receiving. Just operate in His faith. How do I operate in His faith? Obey His word. People think, well, how hard is that? Are you born again? Then you did it. Yeah. Because Ephesians 2 says what? That you're saved by grace, 2:8. You're saved by grace through what? Faith. Just operate in His faith. And you'll please Him. Don't be concerned about what you feel. When something comes against you, and you go, I know there's a scripture against this, and you quote that scripture, and nothing changes, and you didn't feel anything, right then, you pleased God because you operated in faith. Yep, it's that simple. It's that simple. So, I don't know what night it was. Ian wasn't feeling good. What night was it? Do you remember? Doesn't matter. Anyway, it was the night last week. He wasn't feeling good. So, I don't feel like praying for my kids when they don't feel good. I don't. I mean, this is just the truth. The same thoughts and feelings come to me that come to you. I wonder what it is. It's just a lie. So what did I do? I walked over to, now nobody, I don't know that anybody knows I did this, but Ian's laying on the chair and he's hot and cold and you know all that stuff. And I walk over to the chair, TV's on, things are going on around, Heidi's making dinner, put my hand on his chest, and I said, I rebuke this thing in the name of Jesus, and I command it to leave his body. And I walk off, just do my thing. So he gets in bed. Later that night, what did he threw up is what it was. And that boy had eaten a lot of fruit that day. So it was Berry City. Now, I get out of faith the moment I think, oh, why did I pray? I'm not out of faith yet just because he still has symptoms. I'm out of faith when I leave the Word of God. So right before he went to the bed, I put my hand on his chest again and I said, you have to get out of this body in Jesus' name. Why? I'm not like, you know, Superman. I'm quoting Jesus. I'm using his power, his ability, his anointing, his everything. I'm not using mine. The devil's not scared of me as a person. He's afraid of the one that stripped him of all power, which is Jesus. And we've been given that name, which is above every name, which includes flu or whatever it is, was. So the next day, I think he threw up one more time, but then the next day he recouped pretty good. By that night, he had eaten and everything and was fine and didn't want to go to bed. You know. But you say, why do you say that? Because that was faith. It didn't string out for 5 days. It didn't spread to any of my other kids. Amen. Why? We're operating in faith. How are you operating in faith? If you actually look through the Scripture, the Bible actually teaches that under the law, that if they kept the law like they were supposed to, that it says no sickness or disease would come near where they were. The Scripture says in Hebrews that we're under a better covenant with better promises. People say, why haven't we seen it? Maybe we haven't walked in it like we should. Maybe we've been too consumed with what we feel and not enough with what the Word of God says. The Scripture says in Psalms 91 that no plague shall come near your dwelling. Isn't that interesting? That doesn't come to those who wish it would be. It comes to those who receive and walk in it. Well, I haven't walked in it. Don't feel bad. Just get on the train. You know what I mean? If for those that want to see change, you better put the gloves on. If you want real victory in your life, you better step back, get back into training, suit up, get the sword, get the shield, get the breastplate, get the helmet of salvation, get your feet ready. You understand what I'm saying? You're not just going into fluffy bunnies. Okay? It's the good fight of faith. Notice it's a fight. It's not the good bag of faith. It's the good, oh God, please, of faith. No. It's the fight of faith. What did Paul go through? And yet he said, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through Christ who delivers us, saves us. And really what we're moving into as the enemy continues to try and make the world accept all of its ideas about sin is a level of persecution that we haven't known before. But are we to be afraid of that? We're supposed to be the fiery ones. We're supposed to be the ones that turn the world upside down because of our faith. Amen? And it's going on. Don't be afraid of what's going on in America, not for 2.5 seconds. Don't even give the enemy the satisfaction of a slight look of fear on your face when you see what some of the things that are going on governmental-wise. The government. Who cares? You think God's fallen off his throne? Please. Well, they're going to take away our tax-exempt status. So? Do you think the early church had a tax-exempt status? And yet the Bible says when the first church was together that they sold houses and properties and just gave it to the church. The money. Think about that. What is that? People go, that's crazy. No, God calls that faith. It's only crazy to those who do not have an eternal mindset. That's the only people it's crazy to. Here I thought I was going to be able to get through these points in like 2 seconds. All right, I'm going to do another one and we'll just have to pick up. Oh, let's go. The last one I just did is we please God by faith. This one will be we obtain promises by faith. Let's go, stay in Hebrews 11, go down to verse 31. And I'm going to read this in the Passion Translation because I really like the way it says it. And then we'll end with this one. We'll be done. I think you got enough to chew on for a little bit. I know I do. I love this Passion Translation. He's got two more out now, too. He's got Matthew and Romans that are available. So, okay, Matthew chapter 11, or Matthew. Hebrews chapter 11. Verse number 31. I'm going to start in verse 30. It says this: faith pulled down Jericho's walls after the people marched around them for 7 days. Faith provided a way of escape for Rahab the prostitute, avoiding the destruction of the unbelievers because she received the Hebrew spies in peace. Verse 32. And what more could I say to convince you? For there is not enough time to tell you of the faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and the prophets. If you're ever feeling down, go read about those guys. Go read about Gideon. He defeated armies that were tens of thousands more than him with 300 and some guys. God can so, listen to me, and how he did it is God got so involved in the enemy army that these enemy soldiers jumped up and killed each other. They didn't even kill them. God can get so involved in your life that what the enemy is putting together in this mass movement of destruction for you, and the enemy will get so confused, they'll just start attacking each other and forget you were around and just leave. There are testimonies in the Old Testament of lepers leaving a place and walking toward an enemy camp, and God multiplying the sound of their feet to where the enemy thought that a whole army was coming for them. They were so scared, the enemy was, they just picked up and left everything. I mean everything, all the gold, all the silver, all the food, everything, every tent, they just ran for their lives. Why? Because when God puts a thought in someone's head, it doesn't go away. When they were so convinced, the terror that they were using, the enemy uses, can be turned on them. Think about it with Saddam Hussein. When he was destroyed, people say, we shouldn't have gone to war with him. Look, God's going to judge who he's going to judge, all right? And that regime was just nasty. Okay, they were. They lived in such demonic things and oppressed people for years and years and years. God gave Saddam plenty of opportunity to repent. I'll just put it to you like that. And where'd they find him? In a hole with a gun. This is the big guy who's going to blow up everybody and rule the world. And no, Satan never gets to. No. One angel is going to throw him into a pit. See, God just needs our faith. And it talks about it even more here, and this is what I want you to see. Verse 33 says this. Listen to this translation closely. It says, through faith's power, they conquered kingdoms and established true justice. Their faith, listen to this, fastened onto their promises and pulled them into reality. I love that. Their faith fastened onto their promises and pulled them into reality. Your God is unseen, but it doesn't mean he doesn't have substance. How many have had a miracle of God happen and people are like, what? A situation that looked like, how did that happen? Your faith grabs, pulls. Now that very statement right there, we're going to see it over and over, the demonstration of it over and over and over again. You'll see it over and over and over and over again. You say, why? So we can be impressed with them. No, so that we can do what they did. Yeah. That's why. Oh, no, so the preacher can do it. No, no, no. No, I'm not coming to your house to rebuke the devil. You're going to do it in your house. Why? Because it's one thing for me. I can dominate my area because I have authority over it. It's one thing to do that. It's a whole nother thing When you know how, and you know how, and then 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 you know how. And then you, and you, and you, and you, and you know what the devil's doing? Oh my goodness, we got to do something. All these people are functioning in faith. So what does that mean? That means they have victory over the whole world. Yeah. You. With all my mistakes. Well, at least you weren't a prostitute. You can laugh, it's okay. There's always somebody who's done worse, okay? God's not concerned about that. He wants you to rise up with what He said and believe Him. And when you do that, you please Him. Amen? Let's stand. Hallelujah. God's good. And we're moving forward. Now, as we're reading through this and as you're hearing the message, the Lord's going to bring up in your heart things that He wants you to believe for. And you need to write them down and date them. And put a scripture to them. And go, God, this is what I'm trusting You for. I thank You for it. And things will begin to change for you. Faith will begin to rise. If you know people that are in hopeless situations, bring them. I'm telling you, faith can change everything. Everything. It can change everything. And it's not just faith in general, but faith in our God. He is so good. And He loves to do what we as Christians should love to do, which is just mess the devil up over and over and over again. The devil will come to you and say, well, you've done this and you've done that and you've messed this up and now your kids are going to be jacked. You need to stand up and go, my kids are covered by the blood of Jesus. The Holy Ghost is around my kids. My kids are going to hear the Word of God and do nothing that I did. And what I did is gone anyway. That's just a bad dream that happened to somebody else. You know, if you did it yesterday, it's in the past. It's already behind. If you did it at the beginning of the service, it's already in the past. And if you repented over it, God's not even thinking about it. You're bringing it up in your mind and He's going, what? What? I don't know what it is. Amen? And so, believe. Trust God. I know how to do it. Sometimes it's hard to express it. But, I mean, when you hear true faith and the true gospel, something rises within you where you just go, man, I'm gonna latch onto this thing and lock down like a pit bull. And I'm not gonna let this thing go. And I don't care if I'm drawing my last breath on the planet, I'm gonna go, thank You, Lord, that that's coming to pass in my life. And people are like, you're gonna live like 30 more minutes. I don't care, I got 30 more minutes, God. I'm believing You. That's what faith is. It never quits. It never rolls back. It doesn't know when to quit. It doesn't know how to be defeated. It never does. It just keeps moving forward and forgets mistakes and then doesn't repeat them. Amen? So let's believe God together. Father, we just thank You for today. Lord, Your Word is life to us. It's light. It's illumination. It's everything to us. It is our banquet table. You set it before us in the presence of our enemies. So, Lord, we eat the health of Your Word. We take the bowl of peace. We take, Lord, prosperity to us and peace of mind. We take to us deliverance and soundness and rest. We take healing to our bodies. Lord, we take deliverance for our families. We take, Lord, Your authority in Your Word given to us and declare Your promises over our life. Lord, we'll not let them go. We are those that are convinced. We are those that believe. We are those that are persuaded. We trust You. And You are working on our behalf. Lord, we reach into the unseen and bring the promises that are there into the seen. And we will give You the glory for everything that is done because You are good and Your mercy endures forever because You are faithful. You are the God who sees ahead and provides. You are the God who supplies every one of our needs according to Your riches and glory. You are God our healer. You are Jehovah Rapha. You are God our peace. You are God who rules and gives us deliverance and victory in every area Lord, you won the victory and you won it all for us. Lord, you didn't need to make yourself right. You needed to make us right. So we receive it. We're not going to let your cross and your crucifixion be in vain, but we receive the benefits thereof. And we thank you that as we move forward this week, that you're going to help us walk in that level of faith that pleases you. And we believe you for it in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. All right, God bless you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.